You're listening to the Ladbrokes Channel 4 Racing Podcast.
Hello and welcome once again to the Ladbrokes Channel 4 Racing Preview. My name's Ben Stones. I'm joined in the studio by Matt Mower. We're going to look at a quartet of the top quality racing we've got on offer on Saturday. Obviously, all eyes will be firmly on Cheltenham, but perhaps a slight glance towards Aintree as well. The first race we're going to look at is the Reynoldstown Chase at Ascot. It's a 3-mile contest. We're looking at quality rather than quantity, perhaps. We've only got the four runners. At the top of the market, we've got Virac. And he started his chasing career off well. You know, he won his first three wins, but he perhaps was found out behind Coniglio at Kempton. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, last seen on Boxing Day in the Feltham, he finished 40 lengths behind Coniglio that day. But as it's worked out, I don't think there's really any shame in that. It's a really stiff pace. The field was strung out after about four fences. And I think he jumped really well, actually. There were a lot of fallers around him. He was hampered as well and managed to get out of the way. Prior to that, he landed a hat-trick at Doncaster. He beat a Grade 2 winner that day in Wakanda, and he's beat Deputy Dan earlier in the season. I think his form actually looks really solid.
Okay, I would perhaps be one to forgive Deputy Dan for that win. You know, that Virac got away that day. He got a really easy lead, and perhaps Leighton Aspel might be kicking himself for letting him get away that easily. He got first-time blinkers on Deputy Dan. All of his wins have been on soft or heavy, though, so you'd have to hope that they get a bit more rain overnight at Ascot. Oliver Sherwood's put first-time blinkers on Deputy Dan, so hopefully that'll keep him going towards the end. The one that could be quite interesting is the David Pipe horse, Ainsley Fidelis. You know, he only just lost his unbeaten record he's beaten 9 lengths by Splash Gins, but he only recently lost his unbeaten record. He's won over 2 mile, 5.5 furlongs at Newton Abbot, but his breeding perhaps doesn't scream a 3-miler. Could you perhaps make a case for that one?
Yeah, well, obviously landed a 5-timer over the summer, but again, I'm not actually sure if what he was beating in that run of wins was that high quality. I'm not sure if the triple suit, and obviously that beaten 9 lengths by Splash of Ginge, I can't really make a case for him, Ben.
No, I mean, yeah, like you said, that 9 lengths beating is, you've got to sort of forgive him for that if you fancy backing him. The only other one we've got in this race is Phone Home. I think we've probably both agreed that he's just going around for some money there. You know, fourth place picks up £1,700. I think we both agree that's all he can be aiming for.
Yeah, definitely. Place at best, I think he's outclassed there.
Great. So I think we're taking each other on. I think Virac or Deputy Dan, whichever one of us you believe for this race. We're going to move on now to the contest at Haydock, the Grand National Trial. Now, you may have listened to our big race preview earlier in the week. Now, we've got the second, third, and fifth from the Welsh National rear posing here. What do you like in this race, Matt?
I must admit, I think Benvolio's Welsh National form is really strong when he missed that by just a short head to Emperor's Choice. I think Top Weight have got a fair record in this race as well in recent years. I think there's 3 winners since 2003, but I just can't bring myself to back a favourite in a Grand National Trial. I think Gasline Boy has got really solid form. He beat Emperor's Choice, who obviously went on to win the Welsh National over course and distance. The handicapper really got stuck into him after that and raised him £15, but he's back off a mark of 142 here. I don't think he'll want too much rain overnight, and he can throw in the odd mistake, but he's a proper stayer and a nice price.
Yeah, that one horse, Gasline Boy, tipped up as well by Dave Jolly in that big race preview. For what it's worth, I quite like the chance of Monbeg Dude. You know, he's been consistent in these big handicaps. You know, he ran well in Hennessy. He ran well in the Welsh National, and he was placed in a handicap at Cheltenham at the start of the season. So I think you've got, the handicap has been relentless with his mark. He's not really let him off much, but I think he's consistent, and I think with AP McCoy on board, he might be able to chivvy him along to perhaps trouble the ones at the top of the market. Other than that, I mean, is there anything else that you perhaps is worth an each way interest?
Well, I have backed Ben Benz a lot this season. I've backed him off a cliff, in fact, but I just can't have him again, not at a single-figure price as well. I'd definitely be looking for something a bit bigger.
Yeah, one that might be worth mentioning, again, we touched on it earlier on in the week, is Harry the Viking. Now, this horse, he's not been seen at his best for a few years, let's put it that way. But on his best form, if sort of replicating that, he could have a chance at a big price. You know, he's about 20-1 shot. He was second behind Lyfrit last time out, and he's £5 better off for a 2-length beaten in that race. So a big price. If Sandy Thompson can get this one back to where it's been, you know, in previous years, you know, he was runner up in the 4-miler at the Cheltenham Festival a few years back. I think that could outrun its price.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. He's carrying 10-5, and he's got Derek Fox on board, who's a good claimer, claiming 3. Again, he's going to have to be back to his best to win this, but if he is anywhere near that, then he's definitely got each way claims.
What are your thoughts on Rigaudin de Beauchesne? Obviously, last year's winner, runner-up the year before that. He's been pulled up 5 of his last 6 starts. Obviously, that didn't have any effect on it last year when it came out and won this after a couple of below-par runs. He's £7 higher than last year. Do you see another repeat performance, or do you see perhaps this one's form tailing off as it has been recently?
I don't know. I think you've always got to give the Venetia Williams horses a second look in these big staying contests. Again, it's one of these ones where he'll probably win or end up being pulled up. But yeah, obviously last year's winner. Year before that, I think he ran well as well. Proper stayer. It just depends which Rigaudin de Beauchesne turns up on a day.
Yeah, perhaps another one you can say that you don't know quite what you're going to get is Broadway Buffalo. Now, this horse has been quite well backed for a few races this season. He's 2 from 2 at Haydock, which obviously works well in his favour. But he tends to blunder away any chance he's got. And sometimes, you know, when he hits the front, he doesn't necessarily grind out too well. So he's about an 8-1 shot. I think if he's on form, he could be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, well, again, I think I backed him at Haydock when he was quite a well-backed favourite a couple of weeks ago. Again, he's a good horse. He's got good good stamina, but he can throw in the odd mistake here and there. It all depends on his jumping. I think the handicapper might have a hold of him now as well, to be honest. I mean, he carries 11-4 here. Might be a little bit too high for me.
Yeah, great. I think we both agree we're probably going to be avoiding Broadway Buffalo, but at his best, he could be one to make a challenge. Okay, we're going to move on to Wincanton now. We're going to look at the Kingwell Hurdle. At the top of the market for this one, we've got Irving and Sign of a Victory. They're two horses that have got the quality there, but they've perhaps not shown it at all times this season. You know, Irving, he was coming with a strong challenge when he fell in the Elite Hurdle back here at the start of the season. He followed that up with a good performance to win the Fighting Fifth. Then he's pulled up behind Forheen in the Christmas Hurdle when something was reportedly amiss. Do you think this is a race that he should be winning?
I must admit, I'm not a massive fan of Irving. I know they said after the race that he had his problems last time out, but I think he's very, very short at the price and it's a gamble again. I know he was a top novice in the UK last year, but not many of that crop have gone on to do much. And that win in the Fighting Fifth, I know he beat a nice mare in Aurora Destreval, but I think that's probably the weakest Fighting Fifth I can remember in years. The one I'm going to go for is Blue Heron. I think he's a really big price. I think he's overpriced, actually. He was the best of the three last time out behind Fahine. He was obviously well beaten back in third. But before that, he put in a really, really strong run at Cheltenham, where he was going off a massive weight and finished fourth, I think. And he's also beat Parlour Games at Kempton on his seasonal reappearance. That form with Parlour Games has worked out really well. He's gone on to win a Grade 2 and a Grade 1. So, yeah, I'm definitely with Blue Heron in this one.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in terms of the value on this one. I mean, Blue Heron, he finished ahead of Sign of a Victory in the Christmas Hurdle. And yet, he's nearly twice the price. I mean, when we look at Blue Heron, you know, he's been a very consistent horse, where Sign of a Victory, perhaps, he's not one to take on trust. You know, if we got plenty of rain overnight at Ascot, the soft ground would be against him. You know, he was taken out of the Ladbroke because of the give underfoot, and he was pulled out of the Betfair Hurdle last week with lameness. What are your thoughts on Sign of a Victory?
Yeah, I think he's probably got the most scope out of this field. I think he looks like he could be a really classy animal in the future, but again, it's a bit of a gamble at a very short price. He won really nicely at Ascot on the bridle. It was a listed race, and I remember he came to there looking really strong, and I think it was a hands and heels ride from Barry Geraghty in the end. But again, he's just too short for me. You're taking a massive gamble, and if there's a bit of rain overnight, I'm not even sure he'll run, to be honest, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, there's that race you talk about there, that's some pretty strong form if you take it at face value. I mean, behind him, he had plenty of other winners. Dowerland came out to win it next time. He was in second that day. Violet Dancer, the winner of the Betfair Hurdle, was a way back. So I think that form is strong. But again, whether you take that on face value and whether Son of Victory will be at his best tomorrow at Ascot remains to be seen. I mean, one horse that we haven't mentioned that is probably worth a word on is Hint of Mint. Now, this horse beat Purple Bay, the winner of the Elite Hurdle. He beat him last season. He ran well behind the new one earlier in the campaign. He's not far off Sign of a Victory with the weight that he gets from that horse. So with a little bit of improvement, perhaps he can make the frame.
Yeah, no doubt he's a big price. I think he's around 14-1 at the moment. But again, six runners, you're asking a lot for him to finish second with these three in front. Yeah, but he's definitely got a bit of scope for improvement. He's only six. He gets an allowance as well. I think he gets £4 from Sign of a Victory and Blue Heron, and even more from Irving. So you never know. Definite each way claims.
Are we on the same page as Phone Home in the last race, where the other two here are just making up the numbers and hunting around for a bit of prize money?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, Gentleman John's got a course and distance win under his belt. He's been chasing, but yeah, I can't really imagine them. It's going to take a massive effort from them to get anywhere near.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to be tough for those two to get involved. We're going to move on and now look at the Ascot Chase, which is perhaps the big race of the day. It looks very interesting. You know, you've got Petite Zig stepping out of novice company to take on some pretty hardy chasers. I personally was very impressed by Petite Zig at Cheltenham last time out, when he really stayed on. He quickened well and stayed on ahead of Champagne West. He was easily the best of these over hurdles. So, I mean, do you think he can step out of the novice company and do well here?
Well, he's obviously the form horse in the novices over this distance this season. Currently disputing favouritism for the JLT, but this is a big ask. I think he's going to take a career best performance so far. The form over Champagne West, yeah, it was a really nice performance, but again, that hasn't worked out quite so well. And I think he beat Joss's Hill, which we all thought was going to win the Arkle at the start of the season, but again, I don't know what's happened to that. I think this is a really big ask. He's up against some really good horses here for the first time. For me, Boulder Success is the class horse. He's found it difficult at points this season, but he's a Grade 1 winner, and he looked really good when winning a listed event last time out. I think going right-handed around Ascot will really suit him, and I think his step up in trip as well might get the best out of him. He's prone to throwing the odd mistake here and there, but with a bit more time to think about his jumping, I think, yeah, we could see the best of him over this trip.
Okay, I'm perhaps going the other way with Boulder Success. You know, I wasn't overly impressed with that win, that listed success. You say, you know, Huntball was the favourite that day, or was his closest market rival, and he didn't run to form. And I just think, you know, he's a bit of a small field bully as a Boulder Success. And yeah, admittedly, we've only got six going to post here, but you know, these are a good six. So I'm perhaps going against Boulder Success. I mean, one that's an interesting one is Ballycasey. Obviously, William Mullins had Ballycasey and Champagne Fever in this race at the start of the week. He's opted to send the former over. He ran a stinker over Christmas in the Dial-A-Bet Chase, but he was fourth in the RSA. The 3 miles now might be a touch on the stamina sapping side for him. So a step back to 2.5 miles could be an ideal trip for him.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's going to be Mullins' Ryanair horse, and he'll be open for a big display on his first venture out of Ireland if he's going to do anything at Cheltenham. It's difficult to weigh up how good he is, really. I mean, he beat Don Cossack over this trip as a novice, but then, as you say, he threw in that really bad run at Leopardstown last time out, and there were plenty of horses in that race you'd expect him to beat. I just can't have him, really. He's too inconsistent for me. I'd like to see how good he is first.
Yeah, he's a horse that's sort of been tried at a variety of differences. I think before getting stuck into this horse, you want to see some consistency running and running well and staying at the same trip. There's a couple in here that on last season's form would be in with a really good shout, but they've not been that impressive this year in Mafia and Rajani Express. You know, Mafia was, you know, she won the Topham and she was only a length and a half behind Hollywell at Cheltenham. So obviously that form's looking pretty strong now with Hollywell, obviously after his little schooling session around Kelso. He's quite well fancied for the Gold Cup. And Rajdhani Express, you know, he ran well in the Ryanair, so perhaps this sort of time of the year could be the best time to bring in could see the best come out of these two horses.
Yeah, I think Marfiul is really interesting, actually, especially with the £7 allowance for mares. We saw Gitane du Berlay and Simon Meneer Silks take advantage of that really well the other day. And I think she could be quite a big price as well. She's definitely a class animal. Her victory at the national meeting really sticks in my mind last year. That was her best performance to date, and it came over this distance as well. She's been campaigned at 3 mile a lot this year. And last time out, she got within 2.5 lengths of Sam Winner, which is solid form as well. He's been back for the Gold Cup and the National.
Yeah, I must admit, I've had a little each way interest on Sam Winner for the National. So I would like to see Marfiul run a good race, to be honest, to give that one a little boost. We should probably give a mention to Theatre Guy. We don't want to leave that one out. He struggled in the Betbright chase at Cheltenham, to be honest. But he won his only other race this season. He dead heated another race. I think that was with Fox Appeal, who was behind Border Success last time out. So, you know, depends how you look at that race. But, I mean, he's only run twice in the last sort of year and a half. So it's a big ask for this horse, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I'd want to see more from him this season if I was going to back him. He is a big price. If you're looking for a bit of value, why not? But again, with only two places, I can't see it, to be honest, Ben.
Yeah, the extra place might have helped. But yeah, I think he's got a lot of work to do to get involved here. So I'm going to put you on the spot now, Matt. Who's your best bet of the day?
My best bet of the day is Blue Heron in the Kingwell. I think Irving and Sign of a Victory have got a lot of question marks over him, and I think he's a really good price.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Matt. Make sure you log on to news.ladbrokes for all the previews for this weekend's racing. And remember, if you back a winner at 4-1 or bigger on any of the Channel 4 races on Saturday, we'll give you a free bet of up to £25. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again next time. Goodbye.